First Peter chapter 2, verse 17. And I'll start by reading that verse. Honor all of them. Love the brotherhood. Keep being respectful toward God. Keep honoring the King. Now, our verse starts out with the command, honor all. And the question is, who is all? Does that mean show honor to everyone in the world? What about the places, the people that God says not to honor? Fools, for instance. Proverbs 26:1 and following says, as the snow in summer and the rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. So there are some people that we should not be honoring. But this is no excuse to treat anybody dishonorably. If God's word puts limits on who to honor, who is the all, then, that we are supposed to proactively honor? Because the second word in this verse, all, is plural in Greek, and because it is immediately followed by a list with 3 points, I don't think this particular command is saying to honor everybody in the whole world. I think it's talking about God's will for us to honor in particular our fellow Christians, God himself, and our civil authorities in the ways that are prescribed in the context. So even though there are 4 sentences in this verse, there's only 3 complete commands and only 3 classes of people. I've drawn up a little chart for your references as we talk through these things. And since there are so many commands and so many applications packed into this one little verse, I'd urge you to jot down one practical idea that comes to mind in each category. It might be something God has already led you to do, or it might be something new that you'd like to do in obedience to God's commands here. I hope that you can take home something practical for yourself and discuss it with your household as well. So let's look at each box in the chart in turn and start with a word study on what it means to honor. After we look at each box. So the first of the 3 groups is the brotherhood that we're to love. This command echoes 1 Peter 1:22, start fervently loving each other from a clean heart. Now around the year 100 AD, Clement, that's not Clement of Alexandria that wrote the first commentary on 1 Peter, but another Clement who was one of Paul's associates from Philippi, he wrote a letter following up on Paul's letters to the Corinthians, and in it he describes what it is like for the brotherhood to love one another. Listen to this description of the church in Corinth, and I quote, "Day and night you were anxious for the whole brotherhood that the number of God's elect might be saved with mercy and a good conscience. You were sincere and uncorrupted and forgetful of injuries between one another. Every kind of faction and schism was abominable in your sight. You mourned over the transgressions of your neighbors. Their deficiencies you deemed your own. You never grudged any act of kindness, and you did all things in the fear of God. The commandments and ordinances of the Lord are written upon the tablets of your hearts." Wow. What a picture of loving the brothers. May God grant that we could love the brotherhood like that. Now, the second category is God, whom we are to fear or respect. Remember that our fear of God, according to 1 Peter 1:17, is based on the fact that God will hold us all accountable to his standards of right and wrong. Since the Father you're calling upon is the one who judges against the work of each man without showing favoritism, y'all should start lifestyling the time of your temporary residence with respectfulness or fear. The simple fact that you don't relish the prospect of being sent to a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched is reason to say no to things like idolatry and lying and coveting. We love God. And that leads us to offer ourselves in service to Him and worship to Him. But we also have a healthy respect for His authority and accountability, which leads us to obey Him, even when our flesh doesn't want to. Now we come to the third category. It's the king or the emperor who is to be honored. But the beginning of the verse applies it to all, so I interpret that to mean that we're to honor not only the civil authority, but also God and our brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's do a word study on what the Bible teaches honoring, how to do that. How do you do it? One aspect of honor is that of giving gifts or money to someone that you wish to honor. That's how King Balak wished to honor the prophet Balaam in Numbers 22 and following. Now, granted, in the story of Balaam, it was the king paying someone else, but somebody has to pay the civil authorities so they got the resources to govern. Paying taxes is a way to honor our governing authorities. Let us do that cheerfully so they can do what God wants them to do. Honor is also the principle behind giving a tithe of our profits to God. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with what? With your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. You see, this is one way we can honor God. Set aside money to put in the church offering. And beside that, help more needy people and missionaries. Honor is also the word that Paul uses to speak of the church paying the living expenses of widows who are members of the church and who have financial needs. 1 Timothy 5:3 says, honor those who are widows indeed. And he's talking about paying them money. The same word is used of salarying church elders a few verses later in 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, the laborer is worthy of his wages. The word honor is even used in Acts 28:10 of offering provisions to Christians who visit you as a guest to help them on their journey. So who are the guests or elders or widows in your circle of acquaintance that you could honor by sharing of your money or time or resources? A second scriptural way to show honor can be found at the end of the book of Esther, where certain Gentiles honored the Jews by providing protection for them when they were vulnerable to attack. Proverbs 14:31 says that the opposite of honor is oppression. Now, I don't see that it applies so much to God or to kings, but are there any vulnerable Christians, maybe fighting in the army, but are there any vulnerable Christians you know of that you would be able to protect in some way? Some are vulnerable due to their own foolishness. There was a time in my life when I had made some unwise decisions that left me and my family homeless. What a blessing it was to me when church friends welcomed us into their homes and helped us get back on our feet again. They honored me with protection from the elements when I didn't deserve that honor. It may be protecting them from the vulnerability of sickness. The men of Gennesaret set a great example for us in Matthew 14:35. Once the men of the place recognized him, Jesus, as the Messiah, they sent emissaries into all the surrounding country and brought to him all those who were bad off or sick. And they were calling him aside in order to just touch the fringe of his clothing, and as many as touched him were delivered. These were men of honor. They connected the vulnerable people in their community with Jesus, who could heal them. We might help with sick people by delivering a meal to them. That would be another way of helping the sick when they are vulnerable. It may be injustice at work. Do you have a coworker who's drawing fire for his or her convictions? I remember what an encouragement it was to me when I was feeling unjustly treated at one job, and a coworker of mine met with my managers and vouched for me. He took a risk by sticking his neck out for me, though. He could have gotten fired, too. Some vulnerability is due to the abuses of evil rulers. Yat Michael and Peter Yen Reif in Nigeria are vulnerable because they are Christian pastors under the oppressive government of a Muslim regime. Through petitions and diplomacy, we can put pressure on the government of Sudan to stop persecuting these men of God, just as we did when they persecuted Miriam Ibrahim and dropped their death sentence as a result of international pressure. Let us be people who honor the brotherhood of believers by helping them when they are vulnerable. A third way that the Bible speaks of showing honor is in showing esteem, and that's what we usually think of when we think of honor. Proverbs 4:8 speaks of honor as holding in high regard, and Isaiah 29:13 also mentions saying good things about that person that you're trying to honor. Now, this applies to the king, to our civil government, that is. Christians, we are not allowed to despise our president and speak of him with careless disdain. We must show the honor that is due to his office with our attitude and with our words. Now, you can disagree with him, but you still have to be respectful. Exodus 22:28 says, you shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people. That's a command. Even more should we think highly and speak highly of God, who reigns over all. And how about your attitude toward other Christians? Do we show esteem even for those in different traditions that we disagree with? Let us be careful to honor them with our attitude and with our words. James 4:11 reminds us, do not speak evil of one another, brothers. Show honor by giving generously. Show honor by protecting the vulnerable. Show honor by showing esteem in our attitude and in our words. Finally, the Bible speaks of honor in terms of listening to what someone has to say and heeding their advice. The Greek translation of Proverbs 15:22 speaks of the folly of those who do not honor counsel. Now, that's not going to be in your English version, but these words show up in Proverbs 15:22 in the Septuagint. It is consistent with biblical teaching. It's foolish not to honor good counsel. Do you ask fellow church members for advice and follow it? Or are you known for doing your own thing? You know, that'd be worth asking somebody else who knows you well, your wife or your brother or sister or your friend. Are you brave enough to ask them that question? Do you feel like I take your advice? If they hedge on their answer, you probably need to repent in this area. When it comes to listening to God and heeding Him, the stakes are even higher. Jesus said, "He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him." Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. See, honor is put in parallel with believing and obeying. The person who goes to church and then carries on a lifestyle that ignores and disobeys God's word in daily life doesn't have everlasting life. Finally, we need to honor the king. Listen to and obey your civil authorities. Since we live in a republic in the United States, we have multiple legislators and executives and judges at different levels, not just one king. But God here commands us to honor them. They are the ones who can put you in jail, who can fine you, or even execute lawbreakers. So we need to learn the laws of the land and obey them as carefully as we can. Only four verses ago, Apostle Peter wrote how to do that. He said, "Submit to every human institution on account of the Lord, whether to a king as unto him who is a superior, or whether to governors as unto those who are sent by him for vengeance against evildoers and praise for good doers." So here are the commands to honor all, love the brotherhood, keep being respectful toward God, and keep honoring the king.